I read a story once about a man named Paul who took a voyage that changed his life. He was on a journey to where God was sending him, to a place called Roma. But getting there would take all he had. Maybe we all have a Roma of our own to get to, a purpose that God is writing through our life. A voyage he has marked. We didn't know how or even if this was all going to work out. We just had a dream that maybe there were other people out there like us on their way to their own Roma in life, trying to navigate life's crazy sea, who were also sometimes afraid to raise their sail, afraid of how the voyage would turn out, or maybe like us, have had times when disappointment has overtaken their ship. And they feel like they've lost direction. It started with a crinkled up piece of paper that I found one day in the dirt, on a day when I really needed hope and I needed to know God was with me in my journey. It wasn't the brightest day. It was one of those when I felt like my life was off the map. But the word on that piece of paper was Roma. Maybe God had something more to say about our purpose and the journey. I didn't know then, but I do now. God had much to say about our purpose and the Romas that are on the map for each of us. But maybe he even has more to say about the journey getting there, that great journey across the sea. We wanted to come here to the place Paul was shipwrecked while on his great voyage to Roma. Because maybe like Paul, in order to move into the greater things God has for us, we must learn to navigate the waters that shipwreck us. This is the island of Malta, the place where Paul lost everything and yet gained more of his God. Here, every anchor was cut, every cargo was thrown out. And like Paul, there came a time in my life when I had to face my own Malta. And I had to choose to cling to the debris of my own plan for my life or let go and let God take control. A life of faith with God is indeed the greatest, most fulfilling voyage a heart will ever know. But the journey is at times turbulent. Paul took his journey as a prisoner, fully surrendered and not in control. His faith was postured not in himself, but in his God. And when his ship was unhinging and the stars were blotted out and it seemed like all hope was gone, he hung on to his God, believing that even when all the plans are wiped out, in times when we question, when we doubt, and what we thought we were is no more, our purpose remains hidden in our God. The story of redemption that he is writing through our life cannot be taken or stolen or lost. These are the realms of his glory. In those spaces where we don't know how it's all going to work out, but we choose to voyage and abandonly trust in a God who does. God is writing a story through your life that shows the world what redemption looks like. The resurrected King living through you. There will be days of slow sailing when the winds blow against you. There may be loss of ship, and you may find yourself in the strangest Malta, but he will never leave you. Like a whisper of hope in the dark, and the place of the great letting go, is what Malta has come to mean to me in the voyage across the sea. I took that tiny piece of crinkled paper that I had found in the dirt and taped it to my mirror and said out loud as I stared at myself, God, I declare that you are near. I chose to trust that even though I didn't understand where I was at in my journey, he was still the captain of my journeys. We aren't called to know our legacy. We are called to know him and follow him. The word Roma followed me. Hotel key cards, billboards, written across semi-trucks. It was like God's way of gently reminding me that he was with me in my journey. I was learning to raise my sail, learning to trust God with the process, and believing there was a Roma in my horizon that I couldn't see yet. Then came the day when I recorded my first single. I was sitting in the studio and my drummer's wife set her bag next to my guitar case. I looked over and there it was, one word written across her bag, and the word was Roma. Only a relentless God takes a word from the dirt and uses it over years through shipwrecks, disappointments, and brings it and lands it in a Roma moment of my own. I share a piece of my journey to say this. Your sail is worth raising and your voyage worth taking. You belong on the sea, and there are many Romas that God has on the map for you, places that are marked just for you. Uncharted purpose that belongs only to you. He bids us to come, just as we are and not as we should be. He bids us to trust in his love, for his ways are better than life. This is the journey to Roma.
Welcome back to Calvary Connection. What a great video role.
Wow.
I mean, so well done. Of course, it makes it special because we know Ashley.
Yes.
And, of course, you know Carissa. Yes. They and Cisco. They go to church here. Carissa's right. Her sister. What a gifted, anointed young woman.
And timely.
Very timely.
Wow.
It's hard to believe that here we're talking about the same thing tonight. Mm-hmm. So when she sent that to me, it was confirmation.
Amen.
That we're going to be talking about Paul the Apostle and the storm and the shipwreck in from Acts chapter 27 and how it parallels almost, it's almost scary, that parallel with Paul, Acts 27, and what's happening, the storm, the corona storm that we're in right now. Right. The parallels are just amazing. You know, so I'm excited for you to be here tonight, you know?
Thank you. And I just, it's like that when you just need that confirmation on something, and then the Lord often, I believe, does sense you something completely out of nowhere.
It's yes.
Like, here you go. This is exactly where we're going.
It's amazing how he does that.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'll take that all day long.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, before you know, we get into Acts 27 and talk about the parallels from the video that Ashley sent to us and so forth. You know, I just want to remind everyone tonight that, again, like I said the last time that we were together, that everything I say tonight is subject to change because of the crazy times that we're in. But first of all, let's just go back and remind everyone that Calvary Chapel, the 24th, that's this coming Sunday, Memorial Day weekend, we're still going to be broadcasting just online. There will be no service, no one here in the chapel. But on May 31st, Sunday, we're returning to our two Sunday services. Man, we hope to see you. We're going to have a wonderful time. And I want to remind everyone, you know, just like the email I sent out, Ro, it doesn't matter if you're a pastor, or elder, deacon, Sunday school, no matter what you are, You're under no obligation. Amen. If you don't feel safe by returning right now, right. If you would rather stay in the comfort of your own home, I want them to do that.
Right.
Amen?
No burden, no pressure.
Man, none at all.
Nobody.
So there's no obligation. And also, you know, the thing that I think that we all need to be prepared for, and that is don't come on the 31st, May 31st, Sunday, to the services expecting this to be the old Calvary.
I think that's going to be the biggest adjustment.
It's heartache.
Because I, in my head, months ago, I would picture the first day back.
Yes.
Everything normal, high fives, hugs. But it will be different.
It is. We're still the same people.
Amen.
But the old Calvary is not back yet. And so, I just want everyone to be prepared. I don't want anyone shocked. And I want us to all prepare to be inconvenienced.
Everyone.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I put down some notes here, and what I said was, I said, come with what you know and what you believe, and that is arrive to the Sunday services on May 31st with love never fails.
Amen.
In your heart. Let Amen. That be your attitude and so forth. And we have to prepare our hearts for the change. It's a change for me. Hmm. Here we are, finally we're going to be able to get back together, but it's not going to be like it used to be for right now.
I think the biggest one will be when you haven't seen somebody for a long time. The first inclination will be to just go up to them and hug them. And to know that some people may keep that distance, but not to take it personal.
Right.
Don't take it personal because it's not that. It's basically we're trying to do the best we can within the guidelines to keep everybody safe. But, you know, that could be hard for some people to understand.
You know, and you're exactly right. And not only that, it's going to be hard for a lot of people that come here, been here for years, some from the very beginning.
Mm.
Instead of walking in, they're going to be ushered in. Their temperatures are going to be taken. Everything has changed. Everything is different.
They got to be told where to sit.
Got to be told where to sit and when to sit, where to sit. And, you know, some of them have been here so many years and they go, but I've always sat right there. I know that's going to be hard for you because you're going to have to be patient and you're going to have to bear with us. Amen.
You have to be flexible.
Blessed are the flexible, like Chuck said.
They shall not break.
Amen. Right. So there's not going to be the hugging and the handshaking and all of that. Of course, here we are wearing masks for the first service. Maybe that'll be lifted. I don't know. But, you know, I hope so.
Yeah.
For right now, those are going to be things that we need to prepare our hearts for and so forth. And also, at the same time, as we all know, we have to practice that social distancing.
Mm-hmm.
And those are not my requirements.
That's right.
No, those are the CDC. That's the governor, Governor Abbott as well.
Right.
So we're following his guidelines and so forth. So let's prepare our hearts.
Amen.
On May 31st to enter into this chapel like we've never entered it before. It's just a different time. Mm-hmm. But thank God we are reopening, and I can't wait for that to happen. And what you will enjoy is knowing that hopefully, Raul, that these restrictions, they are temporary, but maybe they're going to be short-lived and so forth. And, you know, I was thinking about our reopening, how, you know, the plan now is, you know, we have it in place to do it in stages.
Right.
And we're kind of just rehearsing what we learned last Wednesday night, remember?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But this is very, very important. And everything is tentative, but listen, everyone, parents, this is very important for me. We can't open the youth service, and here's why. Because we're still practicing social distancing. We need the barn.
Right.
We need the cafe. We need the chapel. So the very first phase of reopening has to be the children's church.
Right.
That frees up an area immediately. And so the kids' church will be the first thing to reopen. And then it'll be later the cafe, you know, things like that.
Right.
But the reason I ask that, and I want to read this because I need to make sure I do it right.
Right.
And I said this, parents, mom, dad, listen, I need your help. I need you to email me right now at info@loveneverfails.com. Or if you're watching us live on Facebook, and I want you to use the comment section, and here is the question that I'm asking you. I said this, when the kids' church and nursery reopen, will you check in your children? Do you feel comfortable checking in your children? And this will help Danielle, which does an outstanding job, incredible young woman.
Yes.
To know how we need to really prepare, and it'll also tell me if you're really ready to release your children in the kids' church. We have to prepare for that.
Mm-hmm.
So would you do that right now, please? I need your input. I need your heart. Tell me if you're comfortable saying, yeah, I'm putting my kids right back in kids' church and my little one right into the nursery and so forth. And if you're not, tell me that you're not.
Now, just to clarify, that will be few weeks down the road.
Yeah,
because I want to make sure people at home are not thinking this Sunday, are you, you know, because could be a question. So this will be after a couple of weeks of, you know, trial runs and then obviously what the government.
And also it gives us time to see what the coronavirus is really going to do.
Right.
And that's one of the main reasons. Okay. So we're looking sometime in June.
Yeah.
It could be toward the end of June. But see, we put together the plan then, Raul, where there's got to be social distancing there. Even the way that we check our kids in, there has to be the social distancing. And all necessary precautions for cleaning again. That's the cleanest nursery and kids' church in Tarrant County.
The nicest, too.
Yes, it is. Yes. Very well maintained and taken care of. God has been so good to us. Right. But at the same time, we want to be very careful about that. And this helps us. Your input tells us how we need to plan and where your heart is right now. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate you doing that. Yes. So, and I know Danielle does as well. So, you know, the thing is that this is all new to me. I've never been down this road before. You've never been down this road before.
No.
Calvary Chapel has never been down this road before. And so, you know, all the my time spends in prayer. My time is basically spent only, God, I need only your wisdom. Mm-hmm. I need your plan. Just tell me what to do, which way to do, when to reopen, and also, you know, so all the board, they're in agreement on the May 31st, so Amen. I'm excited about that as we move forward. But here's just what I want to talk tonight about is this. We know this is not going to be new. This is not revelation. But we know that the entire world is in a storm.
Amen.
I'm calling that storm the Corona storm.
Corona storm. I like that.
We know that America is in a storm. And I could say a lot of things about the White House right now, but I won't do that,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yep.
But we need to really understand that the Church of Jesus Christ, the pillar of God, the bride of Christ, Amen. We are in a storm, and that storm is not over. That storm has not ceased. It's still here.
Still going.
It is still going. And so, you know, tonight as we, Raul, as we both look at, you know, Paul, there he is. You know, he's a prisoner, like, just like Ashley said. He's appealed to Caesar.
Right.
He's on his way to Rome, which he'll find his first imprisonment there. Mm-hmm. And so, one of the things that I noticed about in that storm, a lengthy description of a voyage, I mean, by Luke.
Right.
Man, recorded us by Luke for us. Is that two things will happen in a storm to all of us. We're either going to fall apart
mm-hmm.
or we're going to do what Paul said. He said, take heart.
That's right.
In Acts 27. That's right. And that's what I want us to do tonight. And so what I've done, as you can see, I have some big font. You know my eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've got this TV mode setting with the lighting tonight.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I can hardly see you.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm here.
I know you are.
Okay.
I know you are. So I had to, you know, to go to 18 font.
18?
That's okay. And because I can see better. Even have my glasses there just in case.
You're ready.
I am ready because of the lighting. So, you know, if you're at home, you want to turn to Acts chapter 27. We're going to do some lengthy reading, and then Raul and I are going to discuss some parallel points. Tonight, it's so just like it's Paul, what we went through, he went through, we're going through the same thing.
That's right.
So let me just read tonight, beginning in Acts chapter 27, verse 1. It says, and when it was decided that we, now again, Luke is the one that's present, he's the one that's recording all right. this, that we should sail to Italy. They delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. And it says, so entering the ship of, and you can, what's that word?
Adramyttium.
There you go. Perfect pronouncement.
Thank you.
That is incredible.
I went with the Greek
pronunciation. You got it, brother. See, you knew that. Anyway, that is a seaport in Mysia, okay? That's what that thing is.
Okay.
It says, we put out to sea, meaning to sail along the coast of Asia, and Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, well, he was with them, okay? Mm-hmm. The next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly, gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. So in other words, I guess maybe to get provisions for the trip. I don't really know.
Yeah.
There you go. It says, and when we put out to sea from there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were contrary, meaning those strong headwinds, if you will. Mm-hmm. And he says that... And when we put out to sea from there, we sailed, I'm sorry, I'm repeating it. And when we sailed over to the sea, which is off Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there a centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy. So that means it was an Egyptian ship, by the way.
Okay.
Not that it's going to help us, but and they were sailing to Italy. And look, they put Paul on board. And when he had sailed slowly many days, he arrived with, watch that word, difficulty off Sindus. The wind not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off Salamone, and passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens near the city of Lasea. And it says, and when much time was spent, in other words, waiting for the winds, mm-hmm. I guess, to get favorable or to change.
Right.
It says, and sailing was now dangerous. Because the fast was already over, and that had to speak, I'm assuming, of the Day of Atonement.
Right.
So that was September, October. Mm-hmm. And we know from Sir William Ramsay and other great expositors who wrote about this voyage,
okay.
that no one would ever think of setting sail toward the end of October or never in November. You couldn't make it. Because of the horrible storm. So
right.
that's why they said that. It was dangerous because the fast was already passed. And here it comes. Guys at home, now listen carefully. Look what Paul did. It says, Paul advised them, saying, men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss. Not only the cargo and the ship, but also our lives. Now I want to stop right there. The word perceived, and we're not talking that God was speaking to him at that time.
He had a feeling.
You got it. In other words, it meant an experience, something that based upon his experiences. Mm-hmm. He wasn't an idiot. Paul knew the sea.
That's right.
Amen?
He traveled a lot.
He traveled. Matter of fact, you know that Paul is amazing to study out his journey. Over 3,000 miles he traveled in the ocean.
That's a lot of miles.
Unbelievable. I mean, so he was an experienced traveler. And not only that, I mean, when you think about Paul, he survived what we know, what,
two, three
shipwrecks?
Yeah. Yeah, three.
I mean, he was a pretty smart guy.
Yeah.
And so it says there, when he perceived that, he said all that, he said, man, we're going to lose everything. We're on a death ship. This thing is going to go down. Now, look what happened in verse 11. Now, this is going to bring us right up to date to the 21st century.
Amen.
Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman, the captain of the ship, the one who with all the experience, and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. That is exactly what we're experiencing right now. In other words, instead of believing God's word, or the man of God, the messenger of God, Paul, the greatest apostle that ever walked this face of this earth, the owner of the ship, the helmsman, the centurion, trusted what everyone is trying to trust in today, that is expert advice.
The professionals.
Unbelievable. What happened then is the parallel is amazing to me when I looked at that.
Right.
And I went, you know what? That's what everyone is doing right this minute. You know, and the matter of fact, Paul was in this storm because of expert advice. Hmm. And if we look back at all the horrible expert advice, and I'm not being critical of our nation,
right.
of our doctors, of our nurses. Listen, I know I'm thankful for expert advice.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
But, you know, as we were talking earlier, I have to be, with all my heart, be transparent. I'm worn out with expert advice. I'm worn out.
Yeah.
Because it takes me up, it takes me down. It's an emotional roller coaster. It changes with the hour.
And depends on who you're watching or listening to.
Yes. And so it's like, well, this guy's an expert. And everybody's trusting the expert, Dr. Fauci. And I'm not speaking against that.
Right.
And this is important, though. In other words, we know, wear your mask. Mm-hmm. Don't wear your mask.
Wear your gloves.
You
gloves
got
gloves are bad.
You know, the this last report that I read, I don't know if I shared it with you or not, that, you know, that over a billion coronaviruses can be upon the head of a pin.
You did mention that.
Amazing.
That's
just
crazy.
On the head of a pin. And so this one renowned doctor, this expert,
mm-hmm.
he says, do not wear the mask. Everybody says, the other experts, wear the mask. He says that what happens is that if a virus, the coronavirus, somehow attaches itself to, say, inside the mask, gets in. And normally what happens, he says, is that, you know, a virus, you know, coronavirus is dead. They're not living. They're zombies. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they don't come alive until they find the host or the parasite. Okay. So here comes that little, I have my mask on, the doctor said, and now that little virus somehow gets in. Mm-hmm. So instead of just resting in your nasal cavity like they normally do because they attach to the moisture that's there, I found a living host, a living cell, they wake up. Mm. Okay, and that's how it happens. Mm. But what this doctor says, that you wearing that mask, so instead of that virus staying there, it's now being sucked up into your brain. And we have proof of that. And your condition now becomes worse.
So that's one opinion.
Yes. Do you see what I'm getting at, though?
If I'm at home right now, I'm like, wait, so no mask. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so, you know, I'm going, okay, well, I don't want that thing going to my brain.
So, me neither.
You know, I mean, as you already know, this is 14 days of being sick. Right. Man, I am well today. Praise God. Yes. I feel so good. It's so wonderful to feel good again.
Yes.
I don't want to be sick.
No.
So I'm going, I don't want to wear a mask, you see what I mean?
Oh, it's
expert advice.
It's a roller coaster.
It's social distancing.
Uh-huh.
You know, 4 feet. Well, now, no, 5 feet. It'll, you know, 6 feet. Well, I think it should be 6 feet, 8 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
You got a point there.
There we go. So that's the incredible expert advice we're experiencing. That same thing that Paul did. Not only that, let's go look at some more expert advice. What all the church, all of us are going through. Open up the cities. Mm-hmm. Don't open up the city. Mm-hmm. Open up the city. Open up the bars. You got to have those bars. You got to have the saloons. You got to have the massage parlors. Got to, you know, the gyms and so forth. But this is expert advice now. You got to be very careful here. You know, we're opening too soon. Mm-hmm. Back and forth. So what all that does is produce fear in the people. You know, I don't know that I want to go out because now it's going to be spreading or what. You see what I'm getting at?
Oh, totally.
So that's what Paul was experiencing. But watch this. It's amazing, the parallel again. Look at verse 12. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, here it comes, the majority advised to set sail from there also if by any means they could reach Phoenix, that was about 40 miles away, a harbor of Crete opening toward the southwest, northwest, and winter there. So now we leave the expert advice and we have the majority.
Right.
Now you saw how, like you were telling me the other day, they entered into some capital with weapons and
Michigan. Oh. They were locked and loaded. They were not.
So you have a majority across. It's time to open. We want us to open. Right. And I'm not faulting any of that.
No.
But the fact of the matter is that the majority is sometimes a very dangerous thing. Right. Remember Joshua and Caleb?
Great point.
I mean, there they are, the two faithful men. You know, Caleb said, they're bread for us. We can go, let's do it, let's take it, you know.
But and then people listen to the 10.
Yes, they listen to the 10. Right. And all the majority, it stopped them from entering into the blessings of God, and it also prevented two godly men. They had to suffer right along with Israel there in the wilderness. Think about that. And they were the faithful ones.
And they were the ones that believed.
There you go. So we have to be very... The majority will get us in trouble. And let me go. I was thinking, okay, here we are, and I'm hearing it. You know, what is essential and what is a non-essential company or a non-essential business or an essential business? And for people or the majority to be saying to us, like they are in California, that Christianity, or let's just say the church. No, don't reopen the church. because it's a non-essential. That's what the majority is saying. But yet, we are the only hope of the world.
Amen.
We're the only light of the world, the only salt of the earth. We are the church. We are the only people on earth that are in unity, the spirit of unity. Mm-hmm. No one else can have that.
Right.
We have that. And man, I say, you know, beware of expert advice. Listen to it, but beware of it.
And furthermore, take that data and put it through the filter, if you will, of the Lord.
Yes.
But what does the Lord say? Lord, where do I focus on here? Mm-hmm. He is ultimately the one that has the right answers. All the answers.
Amen.
So without his guidance, with all this information being thrown at us from every angle, we're going to be
It's just like you said on Sunday. Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
Looking under Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith.
Amen.
That's who we look to.
Yes.
And that's who Paul was looking to as well. And look there at verse 13 now. This is another, it's amazing, this other parallel. And when the south wind blew softly, there you go, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. So we go from expert advice, we go to the majority ruling, and now we go to ideal conditions.
The wind is in our favor.
You got it.
Right.
Everything is looking up, guys. Yeah, you know, we're going to reopen our economy. It's looking up. And praise the Lord. I'm just saying, it's these ideal conditions. And so what I did, I read an article yesterday from the Fort Star Telegram, and it killed me because they were talking that now is the ideal time to reopen Tarrant County, which I'm not against. That's not my decision.
Right.
I'm just concerned with this.
Our stewardship is right here.
Amen.
Yes, yes, yes.
And but let me. They said that ideal conditions. Let me read to you what they said. He said the reason it's ideal is there is whichever is correct, of hospital beds, and ventilators, in the Tarrant County hospitals. We still have plenty of room. Is that is the most bizarre statement I've ever heard.
It's great to open up because we can take them all.
Well, we have room. We have ventilators. We're reopening our economy even if it kills people.
Yeah.
But at least we have a place for them.
Right.
I mean, I don't know what type of ideal condition they think that is. That's not ideal at all. But that's the thing that we're dealing with, just like Paul was dealing with. And then he says in verse 14, he says, but not long after a tempestuous, that word, we get our word typhoon from that, by the way, okay. A tempestuous, headwind arose called Euroclydon. That word literally means a nor'easter. Boy, if you've ever seen that come in, it's unbelievable. And so it was when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind. Look what they did. We let her drift. Now, in that area, if you studied it all out, it's going to drift for over 23 miles, okay? So they let her drift. So the ship, out of control. And it says, and running under the shelter of an island called Claudia, we secured the skiff, or the lifeboats, with difficulty. And when they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird, or literally to brace the ship, fearing lest they should run aground. On the surface sands, they struck sail, and so were driven. So, I mean, these guys are in trouble.
Yes, they are.
They're trying everything to stay alive. That's what we're going through right now. Mm-hmm. We need a virus. I mean, a vaccine.
Right.
So they took all the cabling and they wrapped it, pulled it around by rope or whatever it is, around the ship. Bracing it together, trying to keep it held together,
yeah.
They let down the mainsail and then just let it run, however it was going to toss them around. And it says, and because we were, watch this, extremely tempest-tossed. And I want to stop right there. That's the way I'm not negative, but that's what I feel. Tempest tossed, meaning like we've lost a half a year, Raul. You know what?
I agree.
I mean, it's like
it's gone.
It's gone. You know, and I was thinking today about the tent ministry. How many hundreds of people from January to now could have been saved? Mm-hmm. And I know God knows all that.
Amen.
But what perfect timing for that, yet we can't go out. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see when restrictions are lifted, the people that are going to come to Christ out there. Because this is still a bad time, you see.
Oh, yeah.
And they're searching. So here it says that, you know, boy, they were exceedingly tempest-tossed. And the next day, it says, they lightened the ship. In other words, they start throwing things overboard. And it says, on the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. So they're getting rid of equipment, the tackle, I guess the furniture, the furnishings, whatever. They're lightening their load.
Wow.
And it says, and now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat upon us, and here it is, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. Man, I know that there are people listening right now. They probably feel like this storm called Corona, it has shipwrecked their lives. They've lost jobs, maybe lost homes. You know what I'm saying? 401ks. Maybe, I mean, no different than, the counseling I've done over the last course of the 2 months. Marriages on edge, maybe falling apart. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's sad. I mean, the coronavirus has stolen, without a doubt. And now they're giving up. It says, you know, like giving up all hope. And I'm going to tell you what, when you're in a storm, if you don't see the sun, if I don't see the sun, when it's cloudy all the time, I don't know about you, it bothers me.
Hmm.
I'm a sunrise, sunset man. I love it. But you let the clouds hang for about a week, I'm starting to pray, Lord, I need to see the sun.
Hmm.
Well, these guys didn't see the sun by day. They didn't see the stars by night. They did not know where they were. They had no clue of their direction. They had no compass now. They were completely out of control. And that may be a way people might be feeling right now. Out of control.
That's a great point.
You know.
Or all like this. They just give up.
Yes. And it all, like I said, what it said, all hope that we have been saved or would be saved has finally given up. And then Paul says in verse 21, but after a long absence from food, then Paul, I love this now, Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and have not sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you, here it is, don't fall apart. He says, take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, of the God to whom I belong. I love that. I belong to God.
Awesome.
We belong to God.
Yeah.
And we're in a storm. You know what? But we're secure.
He
owns us.
Amen.
We're sealed with the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, we're purchased possession. God chose us in him before.
The foundation.
Amen. We're just as secure as Paul.
Isn't that great?
And I love what he said. In the midst of that horrible storm, the darkness covering everything, he says, listen. He says, the God whom I belong, the God whom I serve, saying, here's what the angel of God said to Paul. Do not be afraid, Paul. You must, that's a big word, must.
Mm-hmm.
You must be brought before Caesar. Nero, in other words, he has to hear the gospel. He says, you must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Mm. Now listen, we know from, if we read the whole text, 276 people on the ship.
Right.
But this is so powerful to me because Paul, it's God did something. It's, when it says God granted, that means that Paul did something.
That's right.
What did he do?
He prayed.
Amen. Paul prayed during this storm.
That's a great point, Pastor.
It's wonderful.
Yes.
He prayed for those people. He
in the storm.
Yes.
And may I add, he prayed for the people that did not listen to him.
Yes. Amen.
Do you know what I mean?
That's
like
right.
Some people, oh, you did this to yourself.
That's right. He's Why should I pray for them?
Right. No, he's praying for those
you
people that
it.
Went against what he told them.
That's right. The question that we need to ask ourselves, we too, just like Paul, he was in a storm. We're in a storm called Corona that's affected not just the ocean where he was, the entire world. Amazing.
8 billion people.
Unbelievable. Shouldn't we pray?
Amen.
I pray that we are praying.
Yes.
Because I'll tell you what's happened. During this lull, this being apart, what I have found, and I think I was sharing that with you, and maybe I wasn't, I can't remember now, okay. But I said, the more we go into this, the harder it is to pray. Did I share that with
you?
Yes,
you did.
Yes.
Oh,
the other day,
I agree.
It's like there's an attack. No, don't pray. We want the prayer stopped. We don't want you praying. You know, you don't see anybody anymore anyway. You know, and it's like, and after a while, it's the pressure is so intense that you feel as though your prayers are not being heard.
Hmm.
But they are being heard.
Amen.
And Paul, in the midst of all of this, man, you know, God granted him all the men that he prayed for. I think that maybe the greatest thing that we can remember about his storm and our storm is that in times when we go through this, that you know, we should not be falling apart at all. Mm-hmm. We should be taking heart. But if we're going to fall anywhere, we ought to fall on our knees.
Amen.
That's what we should do. Fall on our knees. You know, the Bible, James tells us, in James 4:2, he says, you have not because you ask not.
That's right.
And what was that in the James 5:16? That the fervent
prayer of a righteous man avails much.
Availeth much. Is very, very powerful. So Paul says, he says, take heart, men, and I love this, in the midst of a storm, and this is what we have to do. Same thing Paul does. He says, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. You know, that's the same. Remember Mary, when the angel told her what was, and Mary said, let it be unto me, Luke 1:38, let it be unto me according to thy word.
That's right.
That's what Paul was saying. Paul right there, man, in the middle of the darkness, the sea, the wind, all the things that are happening, God sent an angel. That's amazing, isn't it?
Like what we talked about earlier. When we need to just hear the one word or confirmation from the Lord, and the Lord just so faithfully, Paul, here we go.
Or, amen.
Pastor Bill, here's the video from Ashley to confirm your
text.
You know, it's like, he's faithful.
Amen. You know, the thing, pardon me, the thing is that, you know, the people on the boat, they don't even know where they are. They don't know their long, whatever it's called, in latitude.
Latitude, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. God does.
Yes, he does.
He knows, when you're in a storm, he knows exactly where you are. You may feel like, I can't see what's going on, I don't know what's happening. God says, I know exactly where you are. Matter of fact, I sent an angel to help.
Hmm.
And that's what we see right here. God knows our location. And this is what, you know, we were discussing before we went live. Is that in the midst of a storm, and listen, we are in a storm. It's not over with. there's something happened with Paul. He received a divine visitation. And you know, I'm not predicting anything. I'm not prophesying anything.
That's right.
But you know, we are returning on May 31st, which happens to be
Pentecost. Yes.
50 days from Easter.
From Passover, yep.
Yes, you follow me.
Yeah.
The birth of the church, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God, the upper room experience, the baptismal measure. You know, I don't know, but my prayer is that on that day, in those two services, that we have a divine visitation.
Amen.
And the Spirit of God is manifest in the midst of masks, in the midst of social distancing, in the midst of all this confusion as we are obeying the laws of the land right now.
Romans 13.
Amen. Yep. That he comes down, I mean, as we praise him, the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. The word literally is enthrones himself in our storm, in our hurt. You know what I mean?
Yes.
As we praise him and love him, he comes down and he says, I'm right in the middle of it with you.
Wouldn't that be something?
Amen.
Oh.
I'm believing.
Amen.
I want you, all of us, let's believe that.
Yes.
Man, you know, you have not again because you ask not. He says, take heart, men, for I believe that God, that it will be just as he told me. You know, the worst storm in the world is the storm of unbelief.
Amen.
And it'll destroy us. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He is just tossed to and fro. He doesn't know. He's a yo-yo.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't want that at all. And I know that there's been damage from this storm. Mm-hmm. I know that. Mm-hmm. People are hurting and the things. You know, even today, I lost one of our people, not here, but very close to, been with the church forever, out of another state. Been with a certain company forever. Said they're laying so many people off in this major, major company. I named it. Everyone would know who they are.
Mm.
And because of this coronavirus. Mm. And so it has affected each and every person, and we know that. But what I love about Paul, he walked away. Not that we should, but I'm just showing you what he did here. He says, he didn't say, I believe in God. He said, I believe God. I believe what God said is going to happen. I put all my faith in it. Paul didn't say, I believe expert advice. Paul didn't say, I believe in the ideal conditions. Paul didn't say, I believe the majority should rule. Let's everybody take a vote.
Mm.
Should we open on May 31st?
Mm-hmm.
No. No. Paul said, God. I believe in God. Mm. And that's where my life stops. I believe in God. And God, and listen now, you know this, I know this. When did Paul speak those words? Be of good cheer and all that. When did he speak those words?
In the middle of the storm.
In the middle. The circumstances had not changed.
Nope.
Our circumstances have not changed.
Nope.
You know, we're just trying to feel our way through the storm.
That's
we're
right.
Navigating.
That's, right.
That's what we're doing.
Yep.
And we're taking one day at a, really 1 hour, at a time.
Yeah.
But, you know, they were still in the middle of the storm. Everything was falling apart. The sun wasn't shining. They still didn't see the stars. But Paul said, you know what? I believe in God. Hmm. And he told the men, you be of good cheer. Hmm. And you know what happened? They believed Paul. And all of a sudden, the storm that was in their heart, because remember it said all hope was gone that they would be saved, changed. You know, the Bible says that a word fitly spoken is like golden apples poured from a silver chalice. There's nothing better than a fresh word from God.
Amen.
And that's what we need right now, is a fresh word from the Lord.
Amen.
You know, knowing what to do and what not to do and when to do it and how to do it.
That's right.
And we don't have to worry. God will tell us. because we trust in Him. This church, you, Calvary Chapel, I know they trust the Lord.
Right.
And I know that they want to stay with the Lord. Now, I don't know that we have time to go and read all the rest of this, my enlarged print. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But you know what happened? They're going to end up just like Ashley said, on the island of Malta. You know, they're going to let down all the anchors. They're just going to let the ship run its course,
right.
And they're going to start taking depth, you know, phantoms to see how deep the water, you know.
Yeah.
And as they do that, they finally drop all of the anchors and they let the wind drive them to the shore. And you know, the front of the ship breaks in two, and all of the people, you know, they were going to try to escape. And remember, Paul
stay
says,
in.
"Man,
yep.
You cannot leave." He told the Roman centurion, "You let them leave, we'll die." Mm. Every person has to remain on board, and that's exactly what the centurion did. And man, that boat just broke into pieces. And it says there on the 14th day, Paul says, "Listen, you need to get some food into your stomach." And I'm paraphrasing that. He says, "But I want to remind you of something." He says, "Not a hair will fall from the head of any of you." And it says that Paul took bread, he broke it in the presence of them all, and he gave thanks unto God. And then, of course, there they go, and the whole thing, the ship breaks up. And I love the last part here where the Bible says in verse 44, and it says, "And so it was that all escaped safely to land," just as God had promised, just
right.
as God had said.
Right.
All 276 men escaped the storm. They're on land. They're there in Malta.
Yep.
And they're going to be treated very well, by the way, in Acts chapter 28. But the thing about this is that, you know, we are in a storm.
Yes.
And I think that what happens after this many weeks of being closed, you know, that Psalm 91 maybe not be as fresh in our hearts as it should be.
Mm.
We can't let that go. Mm. I pray every day, oh, not only my family, my children, I pray over the church every day. Surely He will deliver us from the perilous pestilence. No plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. With long life, God will satisfy thee. I believe it. I hold to it. We must stay in the shadow. That word should never become, what's the opposite of fresh? Stale.
Yeah.
It should never be stale in our hearts.
Right.
It should always be fresh. And you know, there are times, and you know, and I know this may sound horrible, but see, when you're on Calvary Connection, it doesn't matter.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm. You know, there you go.
We can sound horrible.
But you know, when I read, you know, about the people who are wealthy, praise God that they have money. I'm for. Yeah, you know, I wish every Christian was rich, and it wasn't a bondage to them.
Right.
But you know. Well, we took my family, you know, out to the 100-acre spread we have and get away from this coronavirus.
That's nice.
That's nice.
Yeah.
And then I read about there are more yachts in the ocean right now than ever before because they're, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're staying away from
the land. I'm out here, you know what I mean? And not that I envy that, but there's something about, you go, man, if I could run from this storm, if I could hide away. If I had, gosh, you mean if I had a freezer full of food for 6 or 8 months and I didn't have anything to worry about and I could just get far, far away with my kids and just forget about it all? I have thought that. But not very long.
Then there will be peace, right?
Then there would be peace. And that, you know, that has to take us back to King David. One of my favorite scriptures. Oh, if I had wings like a dove, I would fly away from here, and I'd be at rest.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be at peace, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
He says, he goes on and he says, oh, indeed, if I could just, I would wander far away, far off. Yeah, I'd even remain in the wilderness. He says, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm. We've all been there. We've all thought that too. David said, I'm going to run. I'm going to change locations. I'm going to hide from this horrible storm that I am in. If I just had wings, and you know, like a dove, doves are fast. Mm-hmm. Whew. I mean, have you ever gone dove hunting?
No.
Oh, my gosh. When they fly in?
Yeah.
Oh, you got to be good.
Oh. Whew.
Yeah. If you're going to shoot one.
Yeah. Okay.
Of course, you know that I don't do that. Anyway, they're so fast, meaning I could get out of here in a hurry.
Right.
And he says, I'd fly away out of this storm, and I'd be at rest, or I'd be at peace. And that's what we all want in the midst of a storm. You know, but the deal is really, Raul, is that the truth of the matter is that the peace that we need in a storm is not a change of location. It's not a bigger and better home or a big and better job or any of those things. Because there's only one way to have peace. And true peace is always found in one person. And his name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And there is no other.
That's it.
Amen. You know, I pray tonight. Well, first, I've enjoyed these times together.
This has been really fun.
I've enjoyed the Calvary Connection. I don't know if we're going to bring it back or not as we start going back to normal. I think we might, you know, but it'll be set up in the barn and not here on stage. But I hope you all have enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed it, and we've tried to keep us connected by having people here that, hey, there's a familiar face,
right?
You know, and so forth. But I pray that you're at peace tonight. Because Jesus Christ is our only peace. The Bible says he himself is our peace. And Jesus himself has given us his peace. He told us that. He says, but in this world, we're going to have tribulation. And we certainly have been having tribulation. But I pray tonight that you know that in this storm, you don't have to fall apart. I pray that you know that you can take heart. And I pray that you know that you can trust the God who cannot lie. And when we show up on the 31st, it's not going to be the same. It's not going to look the same. But you know what? We are the same. And we're going to get through the territory. We're not going to complain about it. We're going to work together in unity. And we're going to come out on the other side of this storm. Because there's no storm that can defeat the holy plan. There's no storm that can defeat the purposes of God. None. And we are in his hands, and no one can snatch us out of his hands. I love you dearly. Before I go to the Lord in prayer, listen carefully. Don't sign off yet, because tonight we're going to close after the prayer. Ashley is going to leave us with a song from Roma, that video that she sent. I hope you enjoy it because it's a wonderful song. I love you dearly. Raul, I know you love them dearly as
Amen.
Well.
Yes.
The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you in Jesus' name. We're going to close with prayer. Don't miss the song right after the prayer. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name tonight. We thank you that, yes, we're in the midst of the storm. But Lord God, we're going to take heart. We're not going to fall apart because we trust you. And we're ready for that divine visitation on when we open up the services again here at Calvary Chapel, Lord. I ask you tonight to encourage your people. Surround your people, oh God, with your assurance and your grace and your love and your mercy. Uphold them with your righteous right hand. Let fear be displaced from their thinking. Fill them with hope, for you are the God of all hope. We love you. We thank you, Father, for the reopening of Calvary Chapel on the 31st. We thank you for the Calvary connections that we've had. But more than anything, we thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ, and it's in his name we pray. And we all say, Amen. Love you dearly.